With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Stalking Time for the Moon Boys with me, David Baddiel, and Tim Hinks.
Hello, David.
Hello, Ken. It's lovely to see you again. Here we are. We're still in Peter Fincham's living room.
Yeah.
Because his shed still is being worked on.
His shed's still being worked on, but this is lovely. I mean, it's so hard to convey, isn't it, how lovely. There's a grand piano right
there is
just
a grand
behind
piano.
You.
I'm tempted to play the grand piano at some point.
Just give us a tinkle now.
Well, should I do actually something which may interest our listeners? Something that I used to do a lot when I was younger, and still do now sometimes, but it was more a way of trying to get women. Have I talked to you about this?
I don't think so.
I say get women. It's like, I was a big shagger. I was never a big shagger. But I think it's just to impress people, and you know, within that Venn diagram of people, some would include women, is I would play, and I don't know if this really is impressive to women or anyone else really, sort of supper jazz.
Okay.
Do you know about this?
I've never heard you either play it or say that
it
that's
sounds
what you
quite
do.
Impressive. Right,
okay.
For a bit. But if you hear me do, like, my kids now say, oh, Dad, don't play that stupid jazz thing.
Okay.
But I do play it because if it sounds a little bit impressive for a bit.
If you were trying to seduce someone, there'd have to be a piano.
I have a feeling that Sarah... I can't hear this, can we? Can we hear this all right? When I come back, I'll talk about the seducing part of it. But
okay, let's just hear...
Sarah,
yeah.
I don't know how well it can be heard.
Wow. That's very cool. Yeah. Wow.
So,
would you like to go upstairs?
Well, you've got another piano up there.
I think that it's a hell of a thing, though, isn't it? If the piano is the tool of seduction.
Yes.
In the 1940s, maybe, but you're not near that many pianos these days. So you'd have to sort of say, would you just come into the foyer of this Premier Inn for a minute?
If it became something that really worked for me, I would definitely carry around at least an accordion.
A miniature piano.
Accordion. I don't know if it sounds so good as an accordion, that kind of supper jazz. Yeah. It might sound a bit French.
It sounded great.
Yeah, it sounds quite good, doesn't it? Yeah. And actually, when I was 18, I went for a year off, I went to Italy. And I used to play piano in a bar in Italy.
Wow.
And they didn't pay me, but they gave me sort of food.
Right.
But I used to just play that for sort of ages. And anyway, I got away with the fact that it was the same kind of four chords with a bit of twiddling, so people would come and go in the bar and not realise it.
Yeah.
If everyone sat there all night, they were thinking, fucking hell, I can play something else.
Yeah, yeah.
But in Italian, obviously.
You kept the churn of that restaurant going, basically, playing it.
Yeah.
The people didn't stay long.
Yeah.
I wonder if they cottoned onto that.
No, I have no idea. No. If you were in Perugia in the 80s, before the terrible murder happened, perhaps you would let us know.
Yeah, no, that's a lovely reference.
There's something wrong with me, isn't there?
Well, this is not the podcast, necessarily. I can't remember if you were about to say something else then, but I was going to...
Well, talking about the room and the lovely piano,
which is
what led to that bit.
Beautiful room, almost the sort of room, David, where you'd drink a cup of tea.
Yes. Might do that in any room.
Like any room,
It doesn't have to be this room, but
do you remember
quite a stretch that defining feature
actually,
of this room as opposed to every other room.
The thing about Bowie, I didn't need such a ridiculous intro. I'm just going to say something about Bowie that's about tea. Do you remember we talked about the fact
Bowie
that he
had a phobia about tea?
Right. So there's only two things I'd say about that, because I was really interested. It annoyed me that I didn't know. I'd never heard that there was such a thing. So I
couldn't be annoyed about it. I brought it to the table, and
you did bring
it's okay
table.
For me to know something. For me to know something about Bowie that you don't.
But it isn't.
Okay.
anyone to know something, and I thought, I wonder how I've missed that. Such an interesting thing about him.
Yeah.
And so, firstly, you're right, and people took right about that. But I then found this brilliant. It's in the Independent newspaper. They've done like 15 things you don't know about Bowie, and the first one is he refused to drink tea. So
yeah.
Isn't it? But it's just got,
I think that's where I found out about it.
Right. But, well, did you read this sentence? Because this is a sentence that defies... I mean, when he was five, it says, Bowie's parents took him on a Thames boat trip where he drank tea that had been that had been stewing for 7 years.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. It had been stewing for 2 years before he was born. That doesn't make any sense.
He had been stewing for 7 years. Well, that's so actually awful, that's, he hasn't drunk a cup of tea since.
That's presented as a fact.
That's presented as a fact in the I newspaper. Which
okay, well,
perhaps.
Okay, well, it's a very interesting idea. I don't see how that could be possible.
7 years of stew tea is
I mean, I'm not saying that tea can't stew for 7 years. Physically, that might be possible.
Yeah.
Although I think you'd have to keep it under some quite clever conditions, because I would have thought it would evaporate over 7 years.
Not in a pot with a lid on, I don't think.
You don't think?
I don't think a... How long would a pot of tea take to evaporate? Feels like longer. That's 1 year of my dog's life. yeah. And I'd...
Well, no one said anything about being kept on a pot. I'm imagining it in a cup with a bag.
No.
Are you in a teapot?
It'd be a teapot with tea in it that's stewed
for
or
7 years.
Sat there
okay.
for 7 years.
So here's
years.
The other issue with that. Who's brought that on a boat? Who's in a place where the tea is, presumably a kitchen,
right?
And it's there, and someone's gone in and thought, oh, that teapot, it's been here. Hasn't it been here for 7 years? I'll ask the dog, right? And so it's been there for seven years.
The dog says it's been hardly any time at all.
Well, it's been about a year. and then they think, I know what I'll do with it. I'll take it on that pleasure boat on the Thames. That's very unlikely.
I think it's a kitchen on a boat that serves tea.
Okay.
It's got a cafeteria.
Then, okay, then what's required by whoever put this fact down, the fact checker, is to go on the boat, which doesn't exist anymore, but I mean to find somebody who's on that boat and say, is it or is it not the case that the tea that you served in there was there for 7 years stewing?
I mean,
how did you even know how long it'd been there?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think it doesn't add up.
No.
At all.
No.
But the other thing
I mean, it sort of adds up mathematically.
Yeah, no, it adds up, but you can't imagine the circumstances in which tea is left for 7 years.
Yeah. I know what I think happened. Can I just put forward what I think happened?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. David, 5-year-old David, right, is on the boat. It's a pleasure boat, is it, on the Thames?
Yeah, yeah.
With his parents.
It's a exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
He gets given a cup of tea, which he's never really had before. And he goes, oh, this is horrible. Dad, try this. Right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I've not got a very good sense of Mr. Jones.
No, but
Mr. Jones tries it. And let's say it's not a very nice cup of tea.
Yeah.
Mr. Jones says something like those people would say in the 60s. He says, oh, bloody hell.
Yeah.
It tastes like it's been stewed for about 7 years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And Bowie goes, 5 years. And that is the beginning. That's all we've got.
7 years in my tea bag.
That's how it started. Yeah. No, I can see that. But let me also...
Then it becomes a fact.
Then it becomes a fact. But let me, on the tea thing, I want a bit like in... I've been watching Making a Murderer.
Okay. So you know about Kathleen Zellner.
Yeah.
I mean, Kathleen Zellner, what a person.
Yeah,
she
amazing.
Is.
Yeah. She's an incredible character. And so I want to do a slight Making a Murderer thing, which is I'm going to show you a picture, an exhibit, if you like.
Yeah.
And I want you to tell the jury, the listeners...
I see what you're doing.
...what you're seeing. Okay. This isn't quite at the level of the sort of jeopardy of the Stephen Avery case.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you a picture, and I want to tell the jury what you see.
Oh, I see David Bowie having a cup of tea.
And when would you date this?
Well, you know when I would date it to? Mm. I would date it to Edinburgh in 1973, the Hilton Hotel.
Yes.
That's what I would date it. And you are just out of shot. And Jerry, your mum, is saying, oh, is that David Bowie?
But he is drinking tea.
And he's about to do not a joke. He's about to talk about how it went last night.
Yeah.
And the people around him,
this
is really for people who listen to the podcast a lot, people around
not
him
even I can remember.
Are about to say, I think it went really well, David. He's going, can you say that again?
That's right. Exactly.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
But the key element of it is, he seems to be having
he's
a cup of tea.
Also, because it's the 70s, look at that big pint glass that's with it as well. Someone's also having a pint of tea.
Where did you get this from?
I just found it on the... I Googled
Bowie tea.
Yeah.
I mean, not only does he look like he's having a cup of tea here, he looks like he's saying, can I be mother? He looks like he's doling out the tea.
Yeah, yeah. And would you say he is or isn't older than the age of five?
He's definitely older than the age of five.
Right.
I mean, it's quite an interesting look there that David's got. I mean, it's during the glory period, But yeah. even though it's during the glory period, I'm not sure about those sunglasses.
No.
They look very like the sunglasses and the jacket, my mum had.
Yeah, and the jacket's odd because it's slightly denim. It's like a denim jacket or something.
Where does it... Tea with the Stars.
It's a website. I think it's a website with lots of famous people having
tea. It doesn't give you any more information about that.
No, it doesn't tell you where or when.
Because what I'm wondering is that him actually having tea? Or is it a posed picture in which someone's saying, I know, David, I've got a great idea. Let's have you having a cup of tea.
It doesn't look that I mean, it looks...
I tell you what, I don't think it's that. Because if you... I've done things like that, right? And they say, can you hold up the mug and smile? You know, do you know what I mean? Yeah. That sort of homely... Or do a homely shot.
Yeah.
It's not that, is it?
No.
It looks like he's genuinely somewhere having tea.
He's in the middle of having tea. There's a pint glass on the table. It is not...
We don't actually know, though. If I was in the making... If I was Kathleen Zellner...
Yeah.
I would say, but the problem with what you've just done there is... There is no evidence at all, this is Kathleen Zellner, of him actually raising the cup to his lips and consuming the tea.
That's fair.
For all we know, David just put it down and said, that tastes like it's been stewing for 7 years.
No, you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right. There's no way of proving that. But I would say...
So Kathleen has once again outfoxed the prosecutors.
He's innocent. Even though there he is, quite patently,
and
having
clearly,
a cup
Stephen
of tea.
Avery is innocent, based on what I've just said.
He's having a cup of tea, but we've proved that he isn't.
Yeah. That's but no, well done for finding that. And if anyone out there has got any more information about whether David Bowie did ever actually drink tea, or whether the whole tea phobia thing is a load of bollocks, then do get in touch.
The other thing I was going to draw to your attention, but maybe you know this, and I know you're doing a whole show about Twitter and trolls and so on. So that's perhaps for other platforms.
Right.
But I'd found this thing, which maybe you know about this. A year after Bowie died, there was this Twitter furore about British Gas and Bowie. Do you know about this?
No, I don't know about that.
So. So basically, the British Gas help, like, you know, they tweet, like, you could follow them. They help British Gas help on Twitter.
Yeah.
So this is one of those things, a bit like the rail timetables or something. The District Line has a Twitter where they have different people taking it. They do their shift and they say hello.
Yes, I know that.
Yeah, that kind of phenomenon.
Long conversation with, you know, Jim, and then next thing you know, it's Ellen
that
you're talking
is that.
To.
So a year after Bowie dies, this guy, Paul... takes over
at British Gas.
At British Gas helpline, and this is
I don't know where this is going at all.
No, but it's I can't work out. I actually can't work out what I think about it. But basically, this is a tweet. So I'll read it. It's only a tweet. Morning all. A year today, we lost a pop icon, David Bowie. Time flies, don't it? We're here till 10 p.m. if you need anything. Thanks, Paul. That's what the tweet was.
How brilliant!
Then Twitter goes. I mean, I don't have enough information. You know, you can measure these things much more than I do. But it went mad about you're taking the. You know, how can you take his name in vain? You're basically it's a combination of British Gas. You don't help me with anything, and there you are tweeting about Bowie. You know, like get on and help us rather than tweet. And it got to the point where John Ronson...
Because John Ronson's been written a book about internet shaming.
Right, and he tweeted, you've done nothing wrong in capitals. In fact, what you did was nice. And then there was a whole... it went the other way with lots of people saying, you've done the right thing. And then Paul, who... I mean, maybe we should find him, actually.
Yeah, I'd quite like to...
He says, hey, David Bowie meant so much to me. I didn't want to offend anyone. I only wanted to pay tribute to a master songwriter and true icon, Paul.
We're here till 10 p.m.
That's the bit I'd love. I think the bit that... Yeah, the we're here till 10 p.m. if you need anything.
If you need anything, we're here till 10 p.m. with all your gas-related queries. I mean, one thing I particularly like about it, which I don't know if anyone else pointed out, is what he actually says is, you know, a year ago, a pop icon died, blah, blah, blah. We're here till 10 p.m.
Yeah.
He's really making a point about time. Isn't it? Time flies, right?
Right.
Because it was a year ago that David Bowie died. Now, you might not think it's very long till 10 p.m, but time really flies.
Wow,
so if you've got your gas queries, that time might go in the same way that time has flown since David Bowie died. You know, it's a sniper in the brain, he's saying, right? Regurgitating...
What is that? Yeah.
Fame?
No, it's not fame.
Regurgitating pain? Regurgitating. What else can it be? Come on, we can get this.
Sniper
in the brain. Isn't it pain? Regurgitating.
It could be. Why don't we hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it. Okay. And Paul, if you're listening, this is for you. The sniper in the brain. drain.
Regurgitating drain.
Regurgitating drain.
Regurgitating drain.
I feel it's almost written for Paul from British Gas.
Well, it's a public utility reference,
exactly,
isn't it? But it's slightly the wrong one.
Slightly the wrong one. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's Dynarod more. It's really Paul from Dynarod.
It's Pimlico Plumbers, is it a shout out to? Yeah.
Regurgitating drain.
Regurgitating drain, incestuous and vain. I mean,
let's be honest, Bowie was probably in the height of his cut up period at this point. Although there's lots and lots of the lyrics in Time, including Sniper in the Brain, that I think is a really brilliant version of anxiety about growing old and time passing away.
Yeah,
Sniper in the Brain is fantastic.
Yeah.
Regurgitating Drain is a bit more like, what?
Yeah, I think that. But it's funny.
Is it just a rhyme?
I think I might say Time is one of the great songs, isn't it? And it is a wonderful lyric. It does show that you shouldn't maybe go too granular because that's... That's an odd reference to a drain,
isn't it? Now, I'm going to check Paul British Gas Bowie. I'm going to see if I can get that on Twitter, because I didn't know about this. So I've got the NME version of it.
Okay.
Grumpy McGrumpface. To be fair, he has made it clear in the name. It says, Paul, you should be ashamed. A brazen attempt to hijack a hashtag that has nothing to do with your business. Go home, British Gas, help you're drunk, apparently. People did do lots of puns, to be fair. These sound quite funny. ZX Skeleton says... Oh, you can help my boilers under pressure.
Yeah, that's good. I did see that one.
That is very good.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone, George Wood, not George Underwood. Uh-huh. George Wood has gone too far, but I would say, was saying, use my sound of vision. I've noticed that recently my boiler has gone through changes. Can you confirm it's all hunky-dory? I mean, I think...
That's good.
By the way, I think it's going too far.
Also, I don't know about boilers, but they're under the point is they are pressurised.
Yeah, they're definitely under pressure, a boiler.
It's not a complaint, that, is it?
No.
So it's a statement of fact.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the point.
The boiler is under pressure, yeah.
But it seems... It's that... I think it says more about British Gas than it does about Paul, isn't it? Because I think people are thinking, we always complain about British Gas, so what are you doing? It's actually quite a nice thing, humanising thing to do, right?
Yeah.
If they did it... I mean, if it was an industry... If someone did it from the NSPCC or something, actually that would... strike an odd note.
No, not necessarily. But, you know, your point is, yes...
We're looking for...
No, that's true. If it was a charity...
You know,
or
Oxfam.
Yes.
Although they've had their problems.
I think.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think.
Because to be honest with you, almost, I mean, if it was Top Man, if it was Philip Green doing it, you know, again, it wouldn't have gone so well.
Yeah. So I can't remember how we got onto that. But,
well, it was
Paul,
about
so Paul.
Paul
on the Twitter. Yeah. So he got into a lot of trouble. Yeah. But we defend his right to do that.
I was just looking through old documents on my computer and I saw something called Dream Diary. Now, I think I've tried to do this. A number of times over my life,
right?
Because I'm sort of interested in the idea, as an insomniac partly, that when I do go to sleep, like, of recording my dreams, I'm interested in the idea in a slightly hippie-ish way of lucid dreaming, which, as you probably know, is people who believe that they can control their dreams. Yeah?
Okay, I didn't know that. So.
Yeah. Lucid dreaming is an idea, which I think is a real thing, whereby you're aware that you're dreaming while you're dreaming, and... Some people claim that their awareness of that can mean that they cannot wake up and they can kind of guide the dream, presumably into orgies. I mean, I imagine that's mainly what you'd
take
want
it
to do.
Into...
Yeah. I mean, that's if I could lucid dream, I can't imagine what else I was ever going to do with the dream.
No, I'm
It's a good point.
No,
why does anyone want to lucid dream?
Well,
I mean, I might, once I'd had like 100 orgies, I might think, okay, now I'll go and win the European Cup final.
It's the Berlusconi
problem. Now I'll go and you know, be on stage with David Bowie.
It's interesting because you're now freeforming. These are the things you'd like to dream about.
Yeah.
Orgies, winning the football.
Yeah.
And what was it?
Playing with David Bowie.
Playing with David Bowie,
You know, in that order, possibly. Yeah. I mean, still 100 orgies before that. I mean, I'd be quite tired.
I would quite like sort of, I guess, I suppose I'm back in time and John Lennon says... Hey, would you like to come and would you like to come and tour Hamburg with us?
Yeah.
And,
all that way back.
And I'd say, I really can't because I'm going to university and everything.
Right.
At least
you wouldn't
be
going to university because, A, it's a dream, but also it's 1962.
Right.
And you went to university in the early 80s.
Yes, that's true.
So already
there's
a flaw in your logic, which is, you know, the notion that you can't do that.
But,
it's also interesting that you went for, like, before they were even famous, right?
Well, I suppose what I'm saying is I joined the Beatles.
Yes, you joined the Beatles, but I think if I was going to join the Beatles, I suppose I might join then, but there's a tiny part of me that might think, I can't be bothered with all that Hamburg stuff. It's quite hard work and sweaty and whatever. You know, Stuart Sutcliffe's going to die. I have to live through that. So, I'll join it. I'll tell you what happens is they decide to have a fifth member after, you know, just before Rubber Soul.
Okay.
I think when they get really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is my dream, by the way. So okay. Sorry,
I'm just saying.
You can have that dream.
That's what I would do in my dream. I don't know, I'm going to join. And I'll, you know, because it's going quite well for the Beatles then. It's unlikely they would say, let's change this formula. Yeah, yeah. I think we need to change it up a bit. But they might do, and they're in a dream. And, Brian Epstein says, what about a fifth member? Yeah. I'm Jewish. What about a Jewish member?
Yeah.
He says that. And then that's when I get roped on to play guitar and keyboards. You know, on Rubber Soul.
Is that what you think you play, guitar and keyboards?
Yeah. So anyway,
So you can control...
Yeah, you can do that. So this is a long way around of saying that it turns out that I did try and write a dream diary. That's how you get into lucid dreaming. That's if you write down your dreams, then you can eventually end up controlling your dreams.
Okay.
So...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I did a dream diary when I was last year, around about this time last year. I was in India in a spa. I had a dream about David Bowie. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Right.
It's just noted down.
You found your account of it?
Yes. Okay. I'd written down in a queue, this is a dream I had, with Dolly, my daughter, and David Bowie, around about 1975, right?
Right.
In a queue for food, I think. Interesting. I said to Bowie, that's Dolly. Right? Like I've told David about my daughter before. I've met David. Yeah. We hang out quite a lot. I said, I've got a daughter. She's called Dolly. Actually, now that we're together again, David, right? Here's Dolly. I'm going to introduce Dolly. But she disappeared. She was too nervous to meet him. That's all I've got. That was the dream.
Wow.
The dream.
Do you know?
And I'm looking to you as my psychoanalyst in this moment to tell me what that means.
I just want to clarify. When you say she's gone because she's too nervous to meet him, do you know that's why she's gone, or is she just gone?
That's a very good question about dreaming, isn't it?
Right.
Because in dreams, other people appear and do stuff.
Yeah.
And you could say, well, what was their motive for doing that? But since it's all happening in your head, really, you must know their motives. Or certainly the psychoanalyst breaking down the dream must... Because, in fact, it's not them doing it. It's your projection of them doing it. So why am I making Dolly too nervous to meet David Bowie is the real question.
So,
not was she really too nervous because it didn't really happen.
I'm being too literal as well.
And
was it a happy... Was it generally unnerving or disturbing?
I can't remember the dream. This is what a dream diary does for you. It's interesting because I literally have no memory of the dream. What I have not... It says here... It's very... it's 5th of December this happened.
Okay.
So it's really quite near this time. Bad night again. Finally fell asleep about 4. I wrote that down as part of the dream diary. Mm. Now, I do remember that while I was in this place in the Himalayas, I was sleeping really badly.
Right.
Here's what I think it might be. Is Dolly, who I've referred to quite a lot on this show, was a massive fan of David Bowie.
Yeah.
And I was very proud of that. And then it was, as I've also talked about, it was then incredibly upsetting when he died.
Yes.
Because she was 14 at the time, and it was devastating for her. Now, whether it was his death or whether just her growing out of it or not wanting any more, and this is probably the key thing, to be someone who's a big fan of something that her dad is a fan of, because that's a bit like, I don't want to be a fan of something, even if he's great, I don't want to like what my dad likes. She's become less of a fan of David Bowie now.
Yeah.
And I would say that dream is about that.
No, it feels like that.
Because I say too nervous, but it could just be that it's that's something that I've put on to what happened, whereas in fact it's an anxiety dream about how my daughter is no longer interested in David Bowie.
Yeah, and in something and you love, more specifically.
Yeah, but specifically Bowie, and that I projected a time when possibly even, let's imagine, because it doesn't say this here, but let's imagine, when I say to Bowie, that's Dolly, what I've actually said in the previous conversation, not seen in the dream, my daughter's a massive fan of yours, David. She loves you. She knows everything about you, right? So then he turns up.
Yeah.
She runs away.
Yeah.
And I have to say, sorry. Clearly, she's not that much of a fan.
But I think it is about. But also, the fact you're queuing for food, you're doing something quite paternal. You are saying you're providing for your daughter, right?
So, yes.
But that's £50, please.
Yeah. No. Obviously, I'll. Because £50 really got, I think quite I've cheap really got, now.
Well, I said only 5 minutes.
Quite.
It's like, if you almost do the full hour,
it's more. It's in guineas, I think, if you do the full hour.
I think I've really got under the skin of that.
No, you have got under the skin. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Sleeping, by the way.
Can we get sort of 5 times a week? Can we do it? Can we organise it?
£50 for 5 minutes, definitely.
Have you ever had therapy?
Have I? Yeah.
I had therapy for ages. Right, and one of the weirdest things about therapy, which people will maybe know, is like, you can talk about some really, really like heftier stuff, obviously, and you can be like really emotional, and the therapist can be quite emotional as well. But still, at the end of 50 minutes, they're all like, well, our time's up.
Yes.
You know, you kind of think like, well, that's weird. Because, you know, well, I really felt we were having an emotional conversation, and you've at some level had your eye on the clock.
But I think a therapist, one of the things they have to do, I always think about it, have to manage that process of saying, your time's up now, without it feeling like, oh, cheers for that. Anyway, I can't remember what you said, but I've got on to someone else, sort of thing. Because after all, it's a service that, I mean, you're paying for it.
No, I know that.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, it's an odd thing.
I know that. It must be the same with prostitutes. Must be
let
quite
me have
similar.
A thing. Is that the same with prostitutes?
Must be quite similar. If like, well, might not be the same with prostitutes, because I assume with prostitutes, there's a sense of which, like, well, I've finished now, so I'll.
Right, but also, there is that thing about, well, I just went to prostitutes to talk. You hear that, don't you?
I never understand that.
No, but that's the thing people say, isn't it?
And you see it in films and stuff.
Yeah.
Often in films, when they want to do, like, especially a man, obviously it's more likely to be a man, who's like a flawed man, but they don't want to make him too flawed.
Right.
He'll visit a prostitute, but he'll just talk to the prostitute.
So we're supposed to feel more sympathetic towards him.
No one does that, really, do they?
I suspect not.
I mean, if I'd gone to a prostitute and had that thing of like, well, I'll just talk, I think at the end, I think perhaps a hand job.
Right.
You know, I'd want, you know,
so it's especially very if I'm paid,
like,
you to...
let's imagine...
I therefore, it's even more important for you to distinguish between therapy and seeing a prostitute. I would honestly say that.
Yeah.
I
think you'd, as my therapist, I think you should analyse why I brought that up.
As long as that's all you're asking me to do, that's fine. But insomnia is a really, you know, lots of people suffer from it. Mm. I have a cure for it.
No, you don't.
I have a cure for it.
If you've known me well, I'm going to do a bit now of my ancient stand-up. This is my ancientist stand-up.
Oh, brilliant. So I'm going to sit back, have a beer, I'm in a club.
It's not entirely relevant to what you said, but it's a bit relevant.
Right.
And I used to do this stuff, which actually Jeremy Clarkson once misquoted, I remember, in a newspaper, said it was by Ben Elton, which always, you know, I love being mistaken for Ben Elton. He said that, no, he didn't say it, no, what he said, the bit is that one of the things about having insomnia is that people will always tell you that they can sort it out for you and they've got a cure for it or whatever. And the other thing they'll always tell you is that they always sleep like a log. And what I always say to that is, it's the only sort of condition, health condition, that people will say that to.
Yeah.
Like if you were blind, if I was blind, people wouldn't say to me, oh, really? Because I can see perfectly. Oh, God, is that the Himalayas? People don't do that, do they? You know, with insomnia,
no one I know does
they tell you they can cure it, and they say, because, you know, I sleep like a log.
Okay, I'm going to say I don't sleep like a log, but I have a cure for it.
Okay, what is the cure?
All I'm going to say is I've said this to a couple of people and they genuinely said it works.
Okay.
I mean, I know I'm not the best salesman.
No, this might be an amazing
work
moment.
For me. I don't sleep very well.
Okay.
And I've tried this and I don't know if it does work or doesn't.
Then why do you think it works?
At the risk of alienating everyone now, but I told Claudia Winkleman this, right?
Yeah.
And Claudia, who is very lovely, so maybe she's just so lovely.
She is
that
very
she's,
lovely.
She sort of said it works, so maybe
she might be lying to you.
She might, I mean, so maybe.
Yeah.
So this is what you do. When you're lying in bed, you imagine an attic at the top of a house, and that attic has a multiple trap doors in it, which sort of lead down to the house. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
and what you do is you one by one close each of those hatches.
Right.
Are you feeling sleepy?
How many hatches are there?
Well, I think it's a bit like counting sheep. I don't think you should worry about how many. I just think you go through the process in mind of closing those hatches.
I notice you're saying it in a slightly hypnotic, sleepy way.
David,
to try
back,
and make it
come
work.
Back.
Try and make me feel sleepy. And, well, so far, it's not working.
And the light. No, I'm not trying to send you to sleep. I'm saying that when tonight. And the light, I guess I always imagine the shafts of light, you're just closing them and that goes slightly dark. And you close those in your obviously in your mind, not in reality.
Well, it would definitely not work in reality.
No.
Because A, I don't have an attic.
Right.
And B, if I did have an attic, I don't think I'd go to sleep.
No.
If I went up
in the
there,
process of
shutting all the trap doors.
I mean, when I'm saying, have you closed those doors yet?
Yeah, I mean, if anything, what would happen is I'd be thinking, what the fuck are we doing with this amount of trapdoors?
With this amount of
trapdoors.
And why have we got trapdoors at all?
Trapdoors are not necessary at all.
Yeah.
And really, I've been thinking about a loft extension.
Yeah.
So these just would be sort of paved over.
Right? It's imaginary.
Yeah.
And it works.
Well, you're saying that, but it doesn't work for you. It works for Claudia Winkleman, apparently. So Claudia's been cured of her insomnia.
Well, I think we'd need to double check that because she certainly said
I mean,
to
if
me
I was Claudia, I would think about just growing the fringe a bit longer so it covers my eyes. I think that might just work.
I actually couldn't sleep well. I didn't sleep very well last night.
Yeah.
I was partly stimulated by something I'd seen. I went last night, so I think it'll be in the press and everything now.
Well, you went somewhere.
Yeah, okay. I went out.
Yeah.
And that I didn't sleep very well afterwards.
Yeah.
To the unveiling of a portrait. Hmm. And this is a portrait of Charles Dickens.
Right.
And basically, this is a miniature. And I went with a friend.
You went to the unveiling of a miniature portrait?
Yeah, that's
quite
one way of
complicated
looking at it.
To unveil, I would have thought. What was it done with tweezers?
It was. Tiny little curtains.
Tiny little, A tiny little veil that you could hardly touch.
And I could barely see it.
magnifying glasses.
And
were
I said,
out.
Charles Dickens, you look a lot smaller in real life.
Yeah.
So basically, this portrait had been stuck in an attic.
An attic with trapdoors?
An attic in South Africa.
Oh, imagine how many trapdoors.
For 174 years.
Okay.
That's longer than Bowie's tea stewed for.
It is.
With mould on it.
It's not that long in dog years, but yeah.
It's 3 years in dog years. And basically, this guy found it and said, oh, I wonder if I should get it. You know, is it Victorian or something? And they immediately knew at this art gallery. It's a well-known but lost portrait of Charles Dickens from when he was alive. And it was unveiled last night at this gallery. And so I saw it. I was invited along. And the most striking thing about it is that it's beautiful. He's young. So you always think of Dickens as old with a beard and sort of slightly, you know, lived his life and so on. He's young, he's 30. And not only does he look like a sort of rock star, you know, he looks beautiful, romantic. He looks exactly like Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. I mean, honestly, like 1969 Led Zeppelin. Yes, actually, I've got it on my phone.
You took a photo of it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll show you it here. I've got it here.
Oh, yes, that picture, he does look quite like Jimmy
beautiful.
Page. That is available. If you go to, ladies and gentlemen listening, if you go to Lost Portrait of a Young Charles Dickens, if you Google that, here it is in the Irish Independent, and there he really does look like Jimmy Page. And the question I think we have to ask
That's not exactly the photo I'm thinking of, but, you know, that...
That's Jimmy Page.
That's Jimmy Page,
that,
not young
that
Charles
Dickens.
Charles Dickens, did he play a double neck guitar? Charles Dickens, I can't remember.
I don't know.
Well,
what I'm
Page.
Wondering about is how many underage groupies that Charles Dickens might have shagged.
Well,
that's
he,
the big question.
Yeah, he's certainly he's a good looking fella, and he was very famous then. I'm going to do the thing we did with Jonathan.
Okay. For anyone who didn't listen to that podcast, with Jonathan Ross, you said to Jonathan Ross, I can ask you a series of questions to find out which Bowie album you are.
Yeah. Do you remember what it was?
Heroes.
No.
Low.
It was Low.
Oh, and I said it was Heroes, but it was Low, and that is his favourite album.
And it is his favourite album.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out now if this is a website that basically churns out Low every time you answer
or
it.
Or gets it right.
Or maybe... In fact, should we ask what you think your favourite album is before we do it? Do you see
Well, because it changes.
No, I tell you what. Why
it,
write it down. I was going to say write it down.
I said it changes...
Right.
I didn't say it changes one Bowie. I said it changes from time to time.
You're going back to that Neanderthal, Neanderthal language that we learned last
changes. It is changes. No, I wasn't being a Neanderthal. I said it changes because it's. I often say diamond dogs.
Right.
But then every time I say diamond dogs, a tiny part of me, just my brain, says, no, it's Ziggy Stardust. It's Aladdin saying, it's Hunky Dory. But let's have a go.
Okay, which of these statements would you say most describes you? I enjoy new experiences. I don't like meeting people. I like expanding my circle of friends.
I enjoy new experiences.
Okay. Which of these statements do you most agree with? I like a challenge. I like familiarity. I like to mix things up.
I like to mix things up.
Okay. Which of these phrases are you most likely to think to yourself when you're attending a party? I hope people like me. These people bore me. I'm the most interesting person here. This music is awful.
Well, none of those things, really.
Most likely, then, even though it's unlikely.
Well, I don't... Okay, so I'm going to have to say these people bore me. I'm the most interesting person here. Now, that makes you sound like a cunt. But the reason I'm saying that is I don't think these people bore me. Right. But I do sometimes think I'm the most interesting person here.
Wow.
So can I think that without the boring thing?
Well, it's a bit too late to email them.
Because I think because I go to a lot of interesting people's parties.
Yeah.
So I think everyone here is interesting. I'm probably the most interesting, but everyone else is interesting.
Wow.
So it's a more generous version of
that. No, that sounds nothing that sounds the very essence of generosity. That everyone here is almost as interesting as I am.
Yeah, that's what I think.
You are, magnanimity. Right, your friends are organising a birthday party for you, though God knows why they should, because you think they're all boring.
They fucking hate me.
What would be your preferred scenario? A surprise party, although it's a slightly tautological question, isn't it?
Yeah.
An intimate evening with your closest friends, a mental night out with your lunatic best friend.
I think an intimate evening with my closest friend. Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't say that? Yeah. I agree. How do you prefer to spend your evenings? Out clubbing, at home watching television, at the gym?
Right. Well, what do you think the answer to that
What's the album that would lend itself to At the Gym, I wonder?
At the Gym, yeah. Let's Dance.
Maybe. I think you're saying at home watching television.
At home watching television, of course.
Those are the choices. What sort of literature do you prefer to read? Fiction? Non-fiction? Newspapers cut up and rearranged?
Fiction, yes. Newspapers cut up and rearranged, I always thought was a bit of a an odd thing. Although, to be fair, if you did say that, as far as I'm aware, Bowie more or less kept that technique, not with newspapers, but... I don't know if he ever gave up the cut-up technique, did he?
He even did it around the time of Outside. He had a computer program. So it would imply that he just kept doing it.
Yeah, he kept doing it. Although, when you look at some of the later work, say Everyone Says Hi, you just think, well, that can't have been written as a cut-up thing, because it's got a sort of sustained metaphor about death and going on holiday.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. It's a really incredible idea, actually. I think Everyone Says Hi, because that's what it is. It's a song about his father's death.
Yeah.
But it's sort of an upbeat song at some level about going on holiday as it's about writing a postcard, which I always think makes it an amazing lyric.
Well, maybe we'll end on that.
No, let's end on that, because you've got to tell me what album
I am.
End on the song, yeah.
Which of these types of music would you prefer to listen to?
I don't want
to
be Seven. Is it Seven it's on, or Heathen?
I think it's Heathen, isn't it?
I think it might be Seven.
Okay.
Not sure. Anyway,
modern classical, like Philip Glass.
Right.
Rock and roll, drum and bass.
What's my favourite of those things?
Which would you prefer to listen to?
Rock and roll, I suppose. But that rock and roll.
I know, doesn't
it? I know people talk about rock and roll like it's everything, right? In fact, Peter Fincham in the previous podcast, I think, talked about rock and roll. But whenever someone says to me rock and roll, I think Bill Haley in the Comets.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't want to listen to Bill Haley in the Comets, please. But if we mean rock and roll to include, you know, Bowie and the Rolling Stones, then yes. Then,
but there's an interesting thing, I agree, because I think you could have... talked about rock and roll in quite a cool way, obviously, in the 70s, I think, But there's a brilliant... I read an interview with Mick Jagger when he's talking about Exile on Main Street before it comes out, which is a brilliant album, but anyway...
Overrated.
Well, so you're saying it's better than brilliant? It's worse than brilliant?
It's worse than brilliant. Right. I think it's overrated. I don't think it's as good as... whatever the previous Beggar's Banquet...
Sticky Fingers or something.
Sticky Fingers.
I know what you mean. But he says on it, oh, it's coming out soon, and someone says, what's it like? He says, well, I'm not going to give much away, but there's loads of tracks you can dance to. And I think there's not a single track on there you dance, but that was everything.
I think we talked about this once because of Runaway Turd, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, Turd on the Run.
Turd on the Run, not Runaway Turd. I've rewritten it as Runaway
Turd. Runaway Turd is more comical, even still, isn't it?
I've always told you, I imagine a stick figure turd actually running every time I hear about Turd on the Run.
Yeah.
Yeah. A sort of cartoon. Runaway Turd is more like that. Carry on.
What sort of food would you prefer to eat? Meat? Vegetarian? I'm not really a food person, to be honest.
I'm not really a food person.
I suppose it's as in, don't care.
At the moment, I'm going to say meat, although I'm trying really hard to eat less meat and become more vegetarian.
I'm not actually interested in what you like to eat. I just want to put a tick in this box.
Meat. Okay.
Which sort of place would you rather go on holiday? Former Eastern Bloc country off the beaten track, cottage in the home counties, a luxury Caribbean retreat.
Luxury Caribbean retreat, really. Okay. I'd like to say former Eastern Bloc country, but the truth is luxury Caribbean retreat. I'm worried that's going to put me in a kind of let's dance tonight bracket.
This is the whole point about this. It's a very scientific quiz. It's 13 questions. We're on the 10th, so it'll get a full picture. If you're at a gig, where do you usually stand? At the back, observing everyone and thinking how boring they are. In the middle, enjoying the music. In the mosh pit and occasionally stage diving.
Yeah, in the middle, I would say.
Right, okay.
Probably more like at the back now. Let's say in the middle.
This is perhaps the most giveaway. You're going for a haircut. What are you going to ask for? A mullet dyed a vivid colour.
Yeah.
Bleached blonde. Sensible short back and sides.
Well, you see, now it's got to be sensible short back and sides because I don't have enough hair to have any of the other choices.
You're getting ready for a night out. How are you going to dress? Like a member of the opposite sex? Very formally. Casual. Maybe a sweater and jeans.
What about a kerchief in my top pocket?
Doesn't mention that.
Okay. Casual, sweater and jeans.
Yeah. Okay, last question. Which colour would you paint your living room? I remember this one. It's a bit annoying. Blue, electric blue, bright yellow or silver?
Silver, I think.
Silver?
Why? Yeah, maybe silver. Yeah. I don't know, any of those.
I mean, no, you don't want to have any of those.
Any of those colours. Probably I'd end up painting it white, is the truth. But I'm worried, can I just say.
I've got the answer.
I'm worried it's going to be a kind of mid-80s, almost easy listening.
Right.
Because like jeans and sweaters and nice night in. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be as close as Bowie gets to easy listening, which is sometime in the early 80s.
It's interesting.
What is it?
I think you'd be very happy. Ziggy Stardust.
Oh, I'm entirely happy.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
How you get from a casual jumper, like you say, I don't know, but...
Yeah, I mean, Ziggy, you don't imagine a casual jumper or having a nice night in.
No, but there's something...
He might paint his living room silver.
But that album is very... There's something very comforting, isn't it? It's got that lovely... I always think of that Ziggy Stardust
it's
as like...
It's not meant to be comforting, though.
No, but I always
It's comforting now to us.
Right,
the nostalgia of it.
But I always think it's got a slightly early evening sound. I like it. It's got that nice.
About?
You can hear the guitar.
No, I'll tell you what's got an early evening sound.
What would that be? I can't imagine what you're thinking.
Early evening sound.
Like what?
Perfect. I don't know if you're doing anything early evening.
Is it a Bowie
what
thing?
What you want to do is this.
Have I ever told you you're incredibly attractive?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.